My name is Angie Reno, and I'm a mom on a recovery journey from family dysfunction, addiction, and perhaps all that simply comes with the human condition. I'm not a licensed therapist, although I will always encourage seeking out professional help. I know therapy has changed my life for the better. There are many of us on this path towards recovery, so welcome to Siblinghood of Recovery. Hello, recovery community. How are you? Welcome to 2024. Well, it's here, whether we are ready or not. And as I dig into the first month of the year, guess what? It's the first step. I'm really excited about joining an ACA, the Loving Parent Guide workbook. I've got a group of about 16 plus women. We're going to break out into smaller groups. And we're going to dig in, do some work, hour and a half meetings, breakout sessions, homework. Yeah. So the time to do the inner work is present. No more putting it back. But I'm so excited about it. And I think the biggest thing that I've realized in the last couple months is internal strength and internal guidance is what I need to focus on. Because as per the first step, guess what? We have no control over other people. We are powerless. Isn't that right? The ACA 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over the effects of alcoholism or other family dysfunction, that our lives had become unmanageable. I have so much that I want to say about that, but I'm just going to sit in the first step first, right? So if you're listening to this and you have an active situation at home as a parent, which means that you know your child is using and he or she is potentially putting themselves in danger, first, I want to acknowledge that that is a scary situation. You're in the midst of what I call the chaos. You're in the midst of tracking them on 360. Maybe you don't have 360. You're in the midst of worry. What do I do? What are my resources? I have a friend, she's right in there. And because I had my head buried in the sand when my oldest was in the full throttle of addiction, unlike her other friends, I'm not telling her, yeah, it's just a phase. What I'm doing is just reflecting back to her and asking her, how do you feel? What's the family situation? What's going on with you? And she knows who I am. She knows my story. And the best thing I said I can offer you is companionship as we go to the local Al-Anon meeting. And while she researches resources which are available in the area, you know, that's the best that she can do. And in this world where we think we can get everything fixed by, you know, just a click or whatever, you know, if I know where they're at, maybe they're safe. You don't know that. You don't know what your kid is doing when they're not with you. And that is called life. That is called a non-umbilical cord situation. That is called reality. The best that you can do is give them all the love that you have, give them the sense, what you learned, what you've grown up with your family, the good stuff, and then watch them become who they are. And it is going to really suck sometimes because the choices that they make, they're not going to be good. The brains that they have, especially as teenagers, are not fully formed. So, you know, if you're in a situation where you know that it's not headed down a great path, I feel for you, and it's time to build your resources. So let's talk about that. The first thing I recommend is to go to local 12-step meetings. Once you're in, and I'm just going to take Al-Anon as an example, once you're in an Al-Anon meeting, you're going to start making connections with other people who have been down the road. They might be at the beginning of their journey or they might be at the end of their journey with whatever addiction has been going on. And the cool part is a lot of times if you have somebody who's ahead of you, the resources that they have locally are available in detail. And usually at an Al-Anon meeting, somebody says, yeah, I know this person. I know that therapist. I know this treatment center. I've read this book. This book helps. So go to a 12-step meeting as soon as you can, because what you're going to do is you're going to start building your community. There's another thing that you have to do, and this is hard. You have to look at social media differently. A lot of times parents have, unbeknownst to them, developed the concept that their children are assets or reflections of their ability to parent. If that's the case, I'm telling you, you're set up for failure. The sooner that you can look at your kids as individuals, the better. The sooner that you can look at them as something that you, yes, you've helped to create, but individual bodies and minds and souls that are on their own path, it is going to free you and allow you the ability to concentrate on yourself. And when I mean concentrate on yourself, I'm not talking about, oh, I need a spa day. I'm talking about, hey, let's take stock in what dysfunction I'm bringing to the family system. I won't sugarcoat it. It's going to be hard to do. But the truth of the matter is, all of us, to a certain extent, and some of us more than others, bring dysfunction to relationships. And being aware of what you're bringing is going to give you the opportunity to grow. It's going to give you the opportunity to take a solid stock in what you want to change, because the only thing that you can change is yourself. Another detriment to social media is looking at pictures of other families that are quote unquote successful. Telling you right now, stuff is going on behind those walls that is equally challenging, maybe in different areas, but every single family has challenges. Don't get sucked into, I want to be like them. I wish I could be like them. I wish our family could be like that family. I will tell you from the outside looking in, man, we had a perfect family. And I will also tell you, I was a direct contributor to dysfunction of the family. I had not dealt with my past. I had not dealt with whatever trauma that had gone on in my life in a healthy way. The great news is I've dealt with it so much that it's a friend, you know. This is what created me. This is the event, or you know, a stream of events that got me to who I am today. Now, there's a very strong undercurrent consistently in everything that I do that ensures I never get complacent. Because the moment I get complacent, I find myself making excuses or leaning towards, you know, I've done so much work, I don't have to do anymore. Nope. Mm-mm. Don't get sucked down that road either. The one thing I can promise you is in this recovery walk, you have to work hard at understanding yourself. And that isn't easy to do, because we have blind spots, right? So back to other resources. When you go into the Al-Anon meeting, start talking about, hey, what therapist is good? What treatment center is good? What is the style of the therapist? I will tell you right now, there's a couple of local therapists who have done really well with kids who are, you know, dabbling or experimenting with drugs. Unfortunately, that doesn't work for kids that are taking drugs every single day, multiple times a day, and hiding it well. If you have a therapist that's sitting there saying, you know, don't worry about it, smoke weed every now and then, it's no problem. That therapist might be contributing to the child who is truly addicted to having an excuse. So know what your therapist is all about when you enlist their help with your child. Treatment centers and resources. If you look up addiction treatment centers, know the age group, the average age group of who they are treating, who their target client is. Putting your 15-year-old into a treatment center with people who've been on the streets and they're like 30 years old, not a good mix. Putting your kid into a treatment center that has child psychologists who are experienced, who are wrapping around therapy in addition to the addiction treatment, that's a better mix. Other resources are books and podcasts. Just know that one book and one podcast is not going to solve all the problems or answer all the questions that you have. There's three or four good podcasts out there. I recommend Dr. Brad Reedy's podcast from Evoke. I'll do it until he tells me not to. He's fantastic. And he also is very cognizant of there's a lot of work to be done on the parent side for any dysfunctional situation to begin the road to healing. Another good podcast is Hope Stream. And for those with another adult in the family is also participating in alcohol or drug dysfunction, I strongly recommend Buddy C's. It's the Tao of our understanding. It's really great. And it's a very good overview of what the 12-step program can bring you. I think another resource is a relationship with somebody who is also in the recovery program as a parent. Even if it's long distance, just be sure to find yourself somebody who you can call and you can tell them, I am feeling anxious right now because I want to drive over to my, you know, son's or daughter's friend's house right now and pull them out by the hair because of this. You know, and I've actually had that conversation with a parent and, you know, I was a couple of years down the road of recovery and I'm like, yeah, I get it. I know that you're afraid, right? But by the time we ended the call, she realized that, you know, she has to trust her child in the situation of rebuilding a good functioning home life, a good home relationship. But the resource that I'm talking about is knowing that you have somebody who's a phone call or a text away who can talk you out of the tree, so to speak. All right, so the resources recap. Go to local 12-step meetings. Number two, network at the 12-step meetings. You're going to find out a lot of information, a lot of resources there. Number three, manage your social media. Know what your brain is thinking while you're looking at other people's posts. Just manage it. It's, that is a double-edged sword. You can find a lot of recovery connections, but there's that other side of it that's not healthy. Number four, separate yourself from your child. Do this with a licensed therapist. Do this with recovery community contacts. Do this so you can be healthy because you are both individuals. Number five, understand the dysfunction that you are bringing to the family. Same thing as number four, licensed therapist, reach out, recovery community processes, dig deep. Just understand the dysfunction that you are bringing. And guess what? It's normal. It's like guaranteed you're going to be dysfunctional. We all are. It's the human condition. Number six, stop thinking that every other family is perfect. This ties directly into social media. No need to go into that one anymore. Number seven, commit to dealing with your own dysfunction. I know this is like number five, but remember, you're going to work at this daily. Daily. Number eight, before you send your child to a therapist, interview them. Ask them what their specific take is on substance use. And I didn't mention this while I was going over it earlier, but in the beginning, you're dating a therapist. You can break up with them if you see it's not going well. But really know, if you have a child that is in the chaos of addiction, on how that therapist handles substance use. Number nine, treatment center research, same, equally as important as number eight. Really research what that treatment center is about. Get recommendations. Know the age group. Know the staff. What is the staff focused on? Are they licensed? Really research it. Number 10, podcasts and books. I have a list of books on my website, siblinghoodofrecovery.com. Start reading. Start getting educated. This is a journey that a lot of people have been on, and the good news is that they are sharing those experiences and they are sharing what they've learned. And number 11, I think this is so important, and so many of the leaders in the industry recommend this. get a lifeline, get somebody you could call when you're freaking out, when you can feel your anxiety reaching sky level. Know those feelings are going to come up and just get yourself that lifeline. I strongly recommend that it is another parent in recovery, because this is it's a unique journey. It really is. Well, there you have it. And even all of this stuff that I'm going over today, I sit here on January 6th, the day I record 2024, hopeful, incredibly hopeful about this year, and incredibly hopeful about you getting through this and you connecting with people and a network of support that will help you grow out of this journey and become healthier. And that will hopefully allow your child the opportunities to see that it can be done. You know, it really, really can be done. And with that, my first episode of 2024, I'll close it here. Thank you for listening to Siblinghood of Recovery. If you know somebody that can benefit from this episode's information, please share it. If you want to reach me, although I'm not overly active on social media, I'm on Instagram at Siblinghood of Recovery, and I'm on X at Angie Reno Jax. Although this recovery journey is a long one, know that you're not walking alone. I'll talk to you soon, and remember, be good to yourself.